this is Kyle Condis with Creative Disturbance, and this is another Indie Game Nation podcast. My guest today is Russell Fincher. I hope I got that right.
You did.
Okay. And Russell is actually one of the people in charge of the Dallas Society of Play, an indie game kind of like, I guess, collective kind of here in the Dallas hub.
Exactly.
So can you tell me a little about Dallas Society of Play?
The Society of Play is a collective of independent game developers in North Texas. So it was put together basically just to bring indies together so we can, network and share ideas and, get feedback from each other and things like that. Sort of empower each other to be better developers.
That's cool. One thing I've noticed is, like, in just the time I've seen indie games, I know, like, you know, East Coast and West Coast definitely have their, you know, people know about them. Austin kind of has it. But Dallas is still kind of like a hidden gem. I mean, there are indie developers here, but people really don't know about the most of them. I mean, has Dallas Society of Play kind of helped open that door to the awareness of indie developers here in Dallas, or?
I hope so. When we started this group 2 years ago, we, you know, sort of half expected 20 or 30 people to sort of join up and meet. And what's happened is over the last 2 years, I think technically we have something like 275 members.
Oh, wow.
So people are coming out of the woodwork. Indies are everywhere. People that are making games or want to make games are everywhere. And it's been a pleasant surprise.
That's cool. What are some of the events you guys do? I mean, do you guys like meet monthly, or how does the organization work?
We do. We actually have two meetings monthly. We have one that is a normal meetup, so it's like we have postmortems or technical talks or things like that. It's about talking about things, experiences or things like that that you've had in indie development. And then the second meetup every month is what we call our show and play. So people can bring their current projects and present them to the group. They can get feedback or find collaborators or do some play testing. So it's all about showing what you're working on and getting feedback.
That's cool. Have you guys done any outside of the normal meeting space? Have you guys done any events, like any conferences or conventions where you guys have kind of represented yourselves there? Or
yeah, we have. Last year we had a booth at SGC, the Screwtech Game Convention, so that was basically just to create awareness of the group. We had our arcade cabinet there. We did a little bit of game jamming on the spot, and we're going to do the same thing this year at SGC. We have we've rented two booths.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to have a game jam on site, so people can, convention goers can come by and look over our shoulders and ask questions about game development. So it's all about, maybe answering any questions people have about how to start development.
You hit upon something I wanted to talk about was you guys have an arcade cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
How did this kind of come about? I mean, I've seen a few organizations kind of have it, and they'll put indie developers they're friends with kind of on there to free play. But I mean, how did the cabinet kind of get started?
Yeah. The whole idea of an indie cabinet has been around for a few years. I think the first one was made by the Hand Eye Society in Winnetron. In Winnipeg. No, well, I'm wrong. It was in Toronto.
I know Huegos Rancheros down in Austin, they have their own cabinet or two. I think they've placed a few places, and it's kind of cool to know that Dallas has one, but I mean...
Yeah. The first one was in Toronto. The second one was in Winnipeg, and that one's called the Winnetron. And then the Winnetron people sort of opened up their software to everyone else. So all of these indie arcade cabinets you see all over the world and all over the country really are using the Winnetron sort of software.
So that's what your cabinet's based off is on the Winnetron?
The Texatron in Austin is, but we actually wanted to make sure that our cabinet hosted only local games.
Okay.
So we kind of sort of homebrewed our own sort of software on there. So the Dallas Society of Play Arcade is strictly North Texas, games developed by North Texas devs.
Okay. Are there any games that maybe been developed by some of the game jams you guys have held with the Dallas Society of Play? Or?
We had, when the arcade cabinet was being built, we actually held a game jam specifically to make arcade games for the cabinet.
Okay.
So that was the whole theme of the jam. So it's, half the games on there were created in that jam. That's our only game jam so far.
Okay. I got to say, I'm just curious, how hard is it to kind of transfer that thing around to events? Is it kind of a mess, or is it kind of easy? You have it down to like a kind of pattern now?
I definitely have a system, but it's heavy. I mean, it's made out of MDF, which is that really sort of slick wood product that you see most cabinets made out of, and it's heavy. It's very, very heavy. So I've got my process down, but it took a while.
How about you? Just what's been your kind of viewing of the indie game scene here in Dallas? What have you been kind of aware of? I mean, just like say maybe from 3 years ago, have you seen it grown or become more open? Or I mean,
From my perspective, having known a handful of indie developers, and now with the Society of Play, knowing dozens and dozens of developers, to me it seems to have exploded. And there was an article in the Dallas Morning News a few months ago about the new boom in Dallas video game development.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a list of, you know, all the developers that they could find, I guess, and there was 40 of them there. And I was going down the list, and I just kept seeing.
I remember this. It wasn't this like one where like about half of them weren't even around anymore, or it looked like a list from like almost 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, there was probably 10 of them that weren't around, but I could probably name 10 or 15 that weren't on that list that should have been.
Okay.
People I know that have, you know, that have released games either on Steam or on the, you know, the App Store, mm-hmm. or good quality games. So there are more studios out there and more people creating great games than I think people are really even aware of or even able to find right now. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
What would you say is your opinion between, like, the whole argument between AAA title and indie gaming? You know, like, there's a lot of people that say, like, you know, yeah, to the indie game scene, but I still see indie game becoming a big, not going to say competitor, but definitely has made its own niche and mark in the game world. So
yeah, I mean, I think the most interesting thing about that is that in indie games is instead of being another, you know, niche or another type of game, mm-hmm. it's really sort of it's a platform for so many other different types of games within it. This, the amount of experimentation and innovation and, you know, personal stories and stuff that are going on in indie games is just, there's such a broad range of types of games that it's hard to see it as, you know, that it's hard to see it in a binary way, you know, like mm-hmm. there's indies and there's AAAs. Because indie games are just, they're very diverse and it's just, I feel like they're just getting started, really.
I mean, I know there's kind of like a benefit and kind of downfall on either side. I mean, like with, at least, sometimes I've seen it, AAA titles, like, you know, sometimes you're just like a small part of a bigger project, like you're working on this or you're working on that. You don't really get to not necessarily always see it, like be a or work with everybody. It's a part of your, like, your 200-man team, whereas indie game, it's like sometimes maybe a team of four, if not just an individual, and it's but the artists getting to express and make the games that they want to make.
Yeah.
But again, there's also, you know, when you work with a AAA title, you're working for a big company, you're kind of secure, whereas indie games, there's almost like this thing, am I going to make money off this game? Or like a lot of the indie games I've seen are just people who do it for the love of it and put it on sites like Newgrounds or Kongregate, you know, and hopefully I see that way, it's awesome they can get to make indie games, but again, it's also, there's like, unless they have like a backing from a company, they don't get really showcased a lot, and that's where I kind of like the idea that Dallas Society of Play is opening that door. I mean, do you think, like, I don't know, I'm trying to put this in the right terms, but do you see indie games as becoming more of a secure avenue for people to, or way for game development, or?
And I definitely wouldn't describe it as secure.
No, secure might be the wrong word, but.
Well, I mean,
a lot of this could be, if you ever saw Indie Game the Movie, you know, like, you know, it's mm-hmm. a documentary that deals with 3 points, one individual who's already made a game, two individuals that are trying to get the game made, and one who's mm-hmm. still working on it, and you can see the trials and tribulations that they're going through. And so, like, you know, it's almost sometimes wonder, is it worth putting, you know, putting that much work and sweat into the project?
Well, I mean, that, you know, that's up to the individual. Definitely the idea of marketing and the ability to create a game is one thing, because games are hard enough to make.
Yeah.
But then to have other people hear about it, to somehow position yourself so where people can see you and learn about your game, is a whole other, you know, problem. And it's a really tough, you know, nut to crack for indies, because, you know, AAA people, they have a marketing system and there's money in it and it's going to happen. You know, you're going to see it on your TV or you're going to see it, you know, on a banner ad or something. But indies, you know, they have to do a much more ground roots sort of approach to getting people to hear your game.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's really, really difficult.
That's why, you know, being an artist myself, I understand it's like, yeah, if it's really a love for the art, you got to have the passion to really kind of put it out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're not making games when you start out, if you're not making games just for yourself, then I'm not sure. Is your heart really in it in the first mm-hmm. place? I don't know. That's maybe a rhetorical question.
No, I mean, I get it. You know, it's like, you know, are you just there to make a paycheck, or is it something that you're really passionate about doing?
But then again, we all need paychecks.
So. Yeah, no, I'm not arguing that part.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that part. But I mean, if you want a paycheck, I mean, you can get a job at, like, you know, McDonald's or something. So,
yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your background. You are co-owner of a game company called Sickhead Games, mm-hmm. if I'm honest.
Yeah, so I started this company 12 years ago, I guess.
Wow.
I worked in a sort of AAA-ish.
So 2002?
2002, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I worked for a couple years at sort of a AAA-ish sort of game dev place in Dallas, and then that closed down, and myself and another programmer started our own indie studio in 2002, where indie development was a very different environment than it is today, drastically different. It was a lonely place, but yeah. So yeah, and so we've been doing that for 12 years, creating our own IP, you know, doing a lot of contract works and science museum stuff. So just whatever keeps the doors open, really.
And I think recently you just said you're doing a lot of porting for PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. For the last year, we've been doing we've been porting indie games to PlayStation. So like Towerfall, Apotheon, Dust, a few other games.
How's that been? I mean, how's that like? Has that been like a big change for you, or experience wise?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, we've never really worked with anyone else's IP, so you know, and yeah, so it's been quite interesting. I myself handle sort of the art side of the business,
Okay.
I haven't done too much. I haven't touched too much of the porting.
Gotcha. Okay.
But
still, just to partner up with like PlayStation like that to kind of do ports for them, it's got to be like, you know, I guess a different experience when working on your own stuff and kind of working with the games you've been working previously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely been interesting, and to work with, you know, great games that we've all, you know, that we all love, like Towerfall and Octodad. It's, you know, it's fun to have, you know, our hands on that kind of stuff.
So when you port these games, do you get any, I guess, interaction with the actual game creators, or is it solely through PlayStation?
No, sure, yeah, we definitely connect with the developers frequently.
Nice.
Because every, you know, every game has its own sort of, you know, it's written in its own way, and we have to sort of, you know, be in touch about how certain things work, I guess.
Okay. And I guess anybody who might be interested in kind of getting into the area of indie games, what would you maybe tell them, or any your experience?
Today, I would say, yeah, I mean, anybody, the availability of the tools is fantastic today. Anybody can go home and download, you know, Game Maker or Unity and go through tutorials, and they can literally put something together. They can have somebody running around at a game like today. Anybody can. So I don't know. I would just, the internet is full of great tutorials and great tools. And most indies are just self-taught, and that's, you know, that's, everyone has to start there, I think.
Okay. And, I guess, what are the kind of future hopes you have for Dallas Society of Play? I mean, any big plans coming up in the next year or so?
Yes. So we are going to continue with our meetings and our game jams, and we're talking about maybe doing some outreach, trying to reach out to people who are aspiring indie developers, people who would like to make games but don't maybe know where to start. So we're talking about maybe having some you know, some outreach, so we can sort of bring in people that don't know where to start. We can get them started.
Okay. Where do you guys hold the meetings?
We hold them at Improving Enterprises in Addison. It's a great, it's a business, and they have these great meeting rooms, and they offer them up to local user groups.
I've been there for like one or two events. Is that sort of like a co-op kind of space where like startups happen? Or
you know, it's not. I can't tell you exactly what Improving does, but yeah. But they have these great meeting spaces they offer to people, and they're really, really generous with them.
That's cool. And if somebody wants to find out more about the Dallas Society of Play, where can they find you online?
If you want to learn about the meetings and come to a meeting, you can probably find us, you should find us on meetup.com.
Okay.
So just search for Dallas Society of Play. We're also on Twitter at Society of Play, and Facebook too. You can find us there.
And I think you guys at the meetings, you always have the cabinet there for people to kind of...
When necessary. Sometimes
okay.
We bring the cabinet, sometimes we just bring the controls. It depends on who you know, needs to play test that week.
Gotcha. I was going to say, I played some fun games on that thing when you had it at the last Game Dev Drink Up. It was, and if everybody gets a chance, like I said, it's one of the most random games, but the one I always keep pimping is the volleyball game, which is a homage to Top
yeah.
Gun.
Yeah, it's called, the name of the game is That Scene from Top Gun, and it was made by Daniel Fairley and Ian Walker. And yeah, they made it at the SGC at the conference last year. They made it in like 2 hours, and it's ridiculous. Yeah,
it's mechanics. Not the greatest, but it's a volleyball game. You sit there and have like four people can play. And I think I spent like a half hour with people playing at the game dev, so it was awesome. Okay, and if anybody would like to find you, can they find you on the interweb anywhere? Or?
Myself?
Yeah.
You can. Actually, no.
Okay.
Not really.
No, that's fine. No, I just didn't know if like.
Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook. You can just find me at Facebook, probably / Russell Fincher.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's where I am.
Okay. Well, thank you, Russell, for your time today.
Sure.
And this has been another Indie Game Nation podcast with Creative Disturbance. We'll talk to you guys all later.